Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji, very nice, on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, topic Adikhand, chapter 1.111. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us to on this topic. And now I hand over to you the call. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Yashomati Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for starting the call and introducing everyone and for your regular chanting on the call. Thank you so much, Mataji. So we are reading from Chaitanya Bhagavata, and just started this recently. We are in the Adikanda, and we are in verse number 111 onwards. So before we start, we'll first invoke auspicious blessings from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all of them. Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. Jayati Jayati Kirtis Tasya Nitya Pavitra. Jayati Jayati Brityas Tasya Vishveshwa Murtir. Jayati Jayati Nrityam Tasya Sarva Priyanam. This is text 5 from the Adikanda of the first chapter. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra, whose fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead and the abode of transcendental pastimes. All glories to his eternally pure activities. Sri Gaurasundara is the controller of all other controllers, the Lord of the universe and the embodiment of transcendental knowledge. All glories to his devotees, all glories to the dancing of his beloved associates. So as mentioned, what we are going to do is we are going to read from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, verse 111. And today we will be covering verses 111 to 118. Okay. Text 111. Adikande Vayudeha Mandyakari Chala Prakashila Prema Bhakti Vikara Sakala. In the Adikanda, the Lord displays ecstatic devotional sentiments on the pretension of an imbalance of body airs. Purport, the Lord exhibited various transformations of ecstatic love on the pretext of gastric disorder. 112. Adi khande sakala bhakti resha tidiya apane brahmena maha panditana. In the Adikanda, the Lord empowers the devotees and wanders about as a great scholar. During his life as a scholar, the Lord would enlighten his students while wandering about in Navadvip. 113. Adikande Divya Pari Dhana Divya Sukha Anandi Bhasina Sachidiki Chandramukha. In the Adikanda, Mother Sachi floats in an ocean of happiness on seeing the moonlit face of the Lord, who dresses enchantingly and enjoys transcendental pleasure. The word Divya Paridhana refers to exotic clothes. Divya Sukha means unsurpassable transcendental bliss. The word Chandramukha means a bright, cool, shining face. So Lord Chaitanya is Lord Chaitanya Chandra. So he's like the moon, moon-like face. Krishna Chandra and Chaitanya Chandra, both of them have a moon-like cooling face. 114. Adi khande gaurangera dikvijayi jaya se shekari lena tandra sarva bhandakshaya. In the Adikanda, Lord Gauranga defeats the Digvijayi scholar and ultimately delivers him from all bondage. Lord Gauranga defeated Keshavacharya, a Digvijayi from Kashmir, and thus vanquished his pride. Sri Gauranga removed Keshava's adoration for material knowledge by instructing him on the transcendental science of Krishna. Keshava could spontaneously compose and recite various types of poems. He composed many original verses and glorification of the Ganges, and the Lord retained them all in his heart. After the recitation, the Lord pointed out various grammatical faults which left Keshava struck with wonder. Keshava received an opportunity from the Lord to gather the conclusions of the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference in the form of Radha Govinda's worship. Later on, this Keshava composed an elaborate commentary on Nimbarka's Vedanta Kaustubha named Kaustubha Prabha. Various shlokas and prescriptions in the compilation of Vaishnava rituals, Sri Hari Bhakti Vilasa, are taken from Kramadipika, which was composed by this Keshava. By the causeless mercy Gaurasundara conferred on Keshava the title Acharya amongst the Vaishnavas. Nowadays, many less intelligent pseudo-followers of Keshava try to establish him as the Vartma Pradakshaka Guru of Sriman Mahaprabhu. In order to protect these people from the offense of such useless, proud attempts and their reaction, Vrindavan Das Thakur has herein written, Seshe Karilena Tandra Sarva Bhadda Kshaya. Gauranga ultimately delivers him from all bondage. The Bhakti Ratnakar lists Keshava's predecessors in his disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada quotes this list in his purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 1625. The name Keshava Kashmiri may be found in the first chapter of the Vaishnava Manjusha. Text 115. Adi khande sakala bhakti ramoha diya se khane bhule prabhu sabare bandiya. In the Adi Khanda, the Lord bewilders the devotees and lives amongst them as an ordinary person. In the Lord's childhood pastimes at Navadvip, the devotees could not understand him as Lord Krishna himself. He created misconceptions in the minds of all the devotees by personally exhibiting indifference to devotional service. The word Sekhane means in Navadvip. The word Bhule indicates that the Lord lived amongst the residents as one of them. 106. Actually, we'll stop at 100. Okay, I'll finish it off. Yeah, 116. Adi khande gaya gela Vishwambhar raya Ishwara puri re kripa karila yathaya. In the Adi Khanda, Lord Vishwambhar goes to Gaya and bestows his mercy on Ishwara puri. The Lord went to Gaya in order to perform his father's Shraddha ceremony. The abode of Gaya is celebrated by the mark on the lotus feet of Lord Hari. By accepting Ishwara Puri as a spiritual master, the Lord showed unlimited mercy on the beloved disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, who belongs to the Madhva Sampradaya. The son of Advaita Acharya and follower of Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Achyutananda, replied to his father's question as follows. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the spiritual master of the 14 worlds, but you say that someone else is a spiritual master? This is not supported by any revealed scripture. Under the influence of material knowledge, many foolish persons accept Sri Gaurasundar as the disciple of Sri Ishwarapuri. But in order to deliver such deluded people from calamity, Sri Vrindavanadas Thakur, the king of the Vaishnavas, established Ishwarapuri as the recipient of the Lord's mercy. Adi khande ache kata ananta vilasa kicho seshe varni bhena mahamuni vyasa. In the Adi Khanda, there are innumerable pastimes that will be discussed in future by sage Vyasadev. The great sage Srila Vyasadev has described innumerable pastimes of the Lord. Apart from the pastimes of Gaurasundara described in this book, his many other pastimes will be described by followers of Veda Vyas. Those who follow him in disciplic succession of Vyasadev by narrating and compiling the pastimes of Lord Gaurasundar are also known as Vyasa and sit on Vyasasana. Ordinary munis describe topics other than those of the Lord. But since Srila Vyasadeva is not, you know, does not describe topics other than those of the Lord, he alone is addressed as Mahamuni, while others are munis only in name. Topics not related with Krishna are known simply as urge of speech. One who controls this urge through the service of Krishna is a real muni. The word Varinibhena in the future tense, seeing this usage, materialistic persons become doubtful about the existence of Vyasas who are followers of the original Vedavyasa. The text 118, the last verse, Balya Leela Adhikare Yati Yati Ke Prakasha Gayara Avadi Adi Kandera Vilasa. The Adikanda begins with the Lord's childhood pastimes and continues through his visit to Gaya. The Adikanda of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ends with the Lord's visit to Gaya and the return to Navadvipa. I know we read a lot, but we are going to discuss this in a story form as much as we can grasp. And again, before we start off, I would like to re-inform everyone that this Adikanda that is being summarized by Vrindavan Das Thakur is only a quick trailer, like Mataji was telling yesterday. So it's like a trailer, but the main picture, the main part of the movie comes much later. So we are going to revise this over and over. And I know many of you are also very consistent attendees of the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So you must have heard of all of these pastimes. And even yesterday, we were seeing a comparison between Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And many of the verses are, you know, they are similar, meaning they relate to the same stories. So today will be an overview of the portion of the Adikanda that is discussed between verses 111 through 118. But the detailed story, we will reserve for later. So we're not going to reveal a lot of things right away. So it's just like a quick overview. For everyone. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataniram Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namane. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So we just saw the initial trailer of the verses from Adikanda. In our previous classes, we have already started seeing the different pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just in the previous few verses that was discussed yesterday, we saw the childhood pastimes of Nimai, how Nimai was born during a lunar eclipse when the whole world was chanting Harinam, the different marks on his feet, and how these beautiful impressions decorated different places of this, not only his house, the region of Navadvip and the nearby areas. We saw the pastime of how a couple of thieves, they actually kidnapped little Nimai, and the thieves were bewildered and they ended up coming in front of Nimai's house and dropping him there. How he sat on broken pots and he spoke some deep philosophy to his mother. Later, we also saw how he got, he grew up, he went to school and he started learning a lot of scriptures and he became an expert in scriptures. He was an expert in many scriptures and philosophy. He was a quick learner. Of course, he is the Supreme Lord. So what else do we expect? So he was really, really quick. And his elder brother eventually accepted sannyas and his parents were heartbroken. Jagannath Mishra, he left the world soon after that, leaving Mother Sachi alone. And Nimai was asked to marry. Nimai married Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya returned to the spiritual world quite early. And to pacify his mother, he also married Vishnu Priya. So we stopped there. We just stopped there. That was the synopsis of the early childhood pastimes that was discussed yesterday. And today we are continuing from verse 111 through 118. So Nimai, even during his early days, actually, he was very much exhibiting some symptoms of ecstasy in the pretext of gastric disorder. So this is described as being Vata dosha. So in our body, according to Ayurveda, there are different kinds of doshas that one can experience, like Pitta dosha, Kapha dosha, and Vayu dosha, or Vata dosha. So sometimes when a person's bodily airs are not properly balanced, it can result in what is called as Vayu dosha or Vata dosha. Now, the obvious symptoms of Vata dosha is that one feels bloating, one feels heavy, and you all know how it feels, physical symptoms. But then sometimes when the bodily airs are completely imbalanced, it can also take a toll on the mind. The mind gets affected because of these bodily airs. And how does one feel? How does the mind feel? One feels very anxious. One feels hyper. And one appears to be a little crazy. So when such a person appears to be crazy because of the changes or because of the, because of the bodily airs not being balanced, then such a person is called as Vatula. Vatula means basically a crazy person because his vital airs are disturbed. So that is the meaning of Vatula. So Nimai, he was actually exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy from time to time, though it was not so obvious like he did after his sannyas. But even when he was young, he did exhibit these symptoms of ecstasy. But the people in Navadvip, they just thought it is some gastric disorder. It is just imbalance in the bodily airs, which was good. I mean, he didn't really show that he is the Supreme Lord. He never revealed himself much. So like that, though he expressed, some symptoms of ecstasy, still no one really understood it. And they all thought it's just some disturbance of the bodily airs. And when Nimai Pandit was just a little boy, actually, he defeated many people, many scholars in Navadvip. He was very well learned. When he was still a student of his own teacher, even at that time, Nimai Pandit was an expert. He was an expert logician. And some of the greatest scholars and Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Pandits, all of them in Navadvip areas, the learned folks in Navadvip areas, they would all run away. They would just run away because the minute they saw Nimai, because they thought that Nimai would just randomly stop people and challenge them into an argument. So Nimai pretty much challenged everybody. He challenged them, but then the point here is that it is described again and again in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nimai would challenge everyone, not out of arrogance, actually. It was out of respect. He appeared arrogant to the atheists, but the devotees loved him. Okay, so he would actually challenge them, and he would give a lot of pleasure to these people when they would get defeated. Generally, when you're challenged in an argument and when you lose in an argument, you feel really upset about it. You're like, oh, I got defeated, and maybe I should have answered like this. Maybe I should have counter-argued. Maybe I forgot these points. This is how one feels. But then when these devotees in Navadvip would talk to Nimai and Nimai would challenge them, they would fail miserably. They would lose in the challenge, but they would feel so happy about it. There would be a burst of happiness in their heart because obviously they were defeated by the Supreme Lord. So Nimai was very attractive to everybody. He was very attractive. And when a very sweet person, like for example, even in today's world, you can relate this. When a small child is defeating you in arguments, you just feel happy about it. You're not upset. Oh, I'm not a good debater. You never feel like that. Now here is the Supreme Lord, and he was a young boy, and he was calling everyone for a debate, and he would win very easily, very, very easily. And the people there would not feel embarrassed that they lost. Rather, they would feel so happy because of the sweetness of the Lord. So he was really good. It was not that he was just talking something very childish and people appreciated. It's not like that. He was really talking proper philosophy, and he was very, very smart. He was a grammar teacher as well, right? Eventually. So when people would get defeated, they would really appreciate his knowledge, and they would not feel embarrassed. Rather, they would feel happy that they got an opportunity to be in front of Nimai and get defeated by him. He was the most attractive. So who else is the most attractive than the Lord? So all these Navadvipvasis, they were so fortunate that they got an opportunity to witness this very sweet feature of the Lord and getting defeated by the Lord. And Nimai Pandit, he was so beautiful. He was so beautiful. He had the face of a cooling moon, Chaitanya Chandra. Just imagine looking at the moon. It is one of the most beautiful things in a dark night, right? Just looking at the moon. It's so beautiful. It's so calming to the heart. So like that, Nimai Pandit had a very beautiful, cooling moon-like face. And he dressed very beautifully, very, very beautifully. Nice dhoti, nice silken garments. He had soft curling locks of hair. He had beautiful eyes. And Mother Sachi, who would dress him up and who would, you know, witness his beauty day in and day out, she would have such happiness that she felt in her heart. And so like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibiting his intense scholarship, at the same time exhibiting his beauty and fine dress, he chanted and he danced and he just interacted with the Navadvipvasis, filling their heart with love. And because of his chanting and dancing, he even awakened the dormant love that was there in everyone's heart, just by his very presence. So like this, Lord Gaurasundar, not only did he shine in his childhood pastimes, he also shone in his youthful pastimes. Everyone was attracted by him. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Says, his arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is like as beautiful as the moon. His bodily hue is golden, and his whole body is like molten gold. Every part of his body is very beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood pulp. And this is a very beautiful description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you really want to imagine how beautiful the Lord is, of course, many of our ISKCON painters have captured this beauty from scriptures. Because Prabhupada was very particular about how devotees painted the different forms of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were asked to follow exact scriptural descriptions when they would make these paintings. So you can imagine, you know, beautiful lotus-like eyes, sesame flower-like nose. You can Google up and see how a sesame flower looks. It looks like a little nose, actually. So sesame flower nose, and you know, he had a golden hue. He decorated his body with chandan, and he had a beautiful, beautiful moon-like face. So this was Nimai, and everyone's heart was conquered just by looking at his beauty. Srila Jiva Goswami, he mentions that the greatest astra, Sangopangastra Parsadam, right? That's how Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Sangopangastra Parsadam. So what is the astra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carries? It's not weapons. We don't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding the Sudarshan Chakra or the Shangado or anything of that kind. The astra that Jiva Goswami indicates is this personal beauty. Just by his beauty, everyone was conquered. Even in the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, you would see that the Mayavadis were just totally conquered by his beauty. The minute they saw him, they thought, oh, this person is something very special. He's not an ordinary person. And you would see statements from different Mayavadi scholars that you must be Narayana because nobody was as beautiful as the Lord. And just by his presence, people's hearts would get conquered even before he opened his mouth, you know, to speak philosophy or to, you know, talk to people or convince them about anything. Just by his presence, people's hearts would get completely defeated and conquered. So like this, Nimai Pandit, our youthful boy, he was conquering the hearts of everyone. So while time passed, there was one of the greatest traumatic crises that Navadvip had to face. Navadvip was a great seat of learning. So everyone there, as I mentioned, was a great Pandit or a Bhattacharya or, you know, someone of great caliber. So it was a great seat of learning. So everyone was very, very well learned. And they could defeat any Pandit from anywhere in the world. So they were very capable. And the people in Navadvip also were very proud of their great scholarship. I mean, that's natural, right? So if you're good at something, obviously there is a subtle pride in the greatness of who you are. So they were very happy. They were very successful. And they were also a little proud of their learning. But then it so happened that there was a news that spread in Navadvip. Now, what was this news? There was a Digvijay Pandit. Digvijay means a Pandit who has conquered every nook and corner. Digvijaya. Vijay is conquered. Digvijay is every dik. Dik is corners. So there was a Digvijay Pandit who had conquered different parts of India. And his name was Keshava Kashmiri. So you have all heard the story of Keshava Kashmiri from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we are going to hear about it in great detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat as we proceed. But today will be a quick synopsis of this pastime. This pastime will spend some time, especially we'll borrow a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand the nuances of this pastime. And we'll further detail it as we progress with Adikanda. So this Keshava Kashmiri, he was coming to Navadvip, and he had something very special about him. He was blessed by Goddess Saraswati. Who is Goddess Saraswati? Everyone in India knows Goddess Saraswati is the goddess of learning, the goddess of wisdom. It was a well-known fact that everybody knew Keshava Kashmiri was specially blessed by Goddess Saraswati, and Goddess Saraswati would personally vibrate his tongue. So that's a great blessing. Whatever he spoke was perfect and there were no mistakes, and he was known to have the special blessing of Goddess Saraswati. He was an embodiment of the mercy of Goddess Saraswati. At the same time, he also had a mountain of pride and arrogance. Because we all know with great scholarship, automatic byproduct is pride, right? So it's nice to be a scholar, but if we cannot curb the pride, then it's going to be a problem. So Keshava Kashmiri, automatically, as a byproduct, he also had a mountain of arrogance with all the mercy that he had from Goddess Saraswati. He was very smart, he was intelligent, and he would visit from one place to the other. So he pretty much visited all the great universities in those days of learning, of Sanskrit scholarship and learning. So Kashi, and think about all the great places like Mathura, Kanchipuram, Mithila. So all these were great places of learning in ancient India, including Navadvip. Now, he had gone to all these places. He went to Kashi, he went to Kanchipuram, he went to Mathura, and he went to Mithila, and then he went to Kashmir. Because Kashmir is a great seat of learning. Kashmir, the Kashmir Pandits, they are very, very popular, right? Kashmir Pandits. So he was very well learned, and that's why he's called Keshava Kashmiri. So he from Kashmir, what he did was he decided to come to this portion of Bengal known as Navadvip. So Navadvip was also a great seat of scholarship. He wanted to come there and he wanted to debate with the people in Navadvip. And the thing that he did was he would carry what is called as a Jayapatra. Jayapatra means the patra or a script of victory. So basically he would give that patra to everyone and you say, okay, sign it and say that you have lost to this great scholar Keshava Kashmiri. So like this Keshava Pandit, he went to Navadvip carrying his Jayapatra. So wherever he went and wherever he won, the people would sign saying that I have been defeated by Keshava Kashmiri. And this was very humiliating. Everyone had to sign it. And even if they didn't want to challenge him, even if they didn't want to debate with him, if they refuse to debate, that means that they're not ready, right? So even the ones who would refuse to debate with him would actually end up signing this Jayapatra. So like this, now the people in Navadvip, they were really worried. They were very anxious. Oh, this Keshava Kashmiri is going to come to Navadvip. Navadvip has been having a long-standing fame and everything is about to be destroyed. Who's going to stand in front of this man? He's got the special mercy of Saraswati. He's not an ordinary man. So they were all very worried. So now this Keshava Kashmiri, he entered Navadvip. There are some great sannyasis who have come to Navadvip, like Ishwarapuri and others, as we read in the purport today. Ishwarapuri is the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Ishwarapuri actually came to Navadvip, he was a very simple man. He was just wearing sannyas clothes and he was very, very simple. He didn't have any airs around him. He was a humble, simple sannyasi. But here we have Keshava Kashmiri, who was a Digvijayi scholar. So he came with all great pomp. He was in a procession. He was decorated nicely and he had horses and elephants and Brahmins walking in the front of his procession. And they were all chanting his glories and marching bands. They all together, they came to Navadvip. So it was a great procession that came to Navadvip and everyone was making announcements. Here comes the great Keshava Kashmiri, and they were all striking on their bands and they were making these huge announcements and they were declaring a challenge in Navadvip. So what was the challenge? Keshava Kashmiri was telling, I demand a debate. I demand a debate from anybody who's ready to come and speak, who's ready to come and have a debate with me. And if you lose in this debate, you're supposed to sign off this Jayapatra telling that I am the ultimate conqueror of every dig, of every corner in this country. So like this, he started marching inside this region of Navadvip. Now, everyone, obviously, they were a little worried because they all knew the special mercy he had received. Goddess Saraswati would set on his tongue and vibrate his tongue. Everyone was worried and there were rumors, like people were talking, oh, what are we going to do? And a lot of people were getting together and trying to, resolve the situation. So at that time, some of Nimai Pandit's school children, or rather not children, but his disciples or his followers, they all went to Nimai Pandit and they were telling him, oh, what are we going to do? So they knew Pandit means it is our Nimai. Nimai is the best debater. So all these students, they went to Nimai Pandit and they told Nimai, what are we going to do now? This Digvijay Pandit has come and he's supposed to be so special. So do you think someone in Navadvip can really, really talk to him and have a debate with him? So while these students of Nimai were asking Nimai like this, Nimai said something very interesting. He said, he smiled. Okay, this is how it goes. So he smiled and he said this statement. The Supreme Lord never tolerates false pride. When he shows his mercy to someone, he actually removes the false pride of that person. So it's very sweet, right? When Krishna becomes exceedingly merciful towards someone who has a lot of scholarship, the first thing he does is he removes the pride because he cannot tolerate pride. That is one thing Krishna never tolerates. So because if we are good at something, that is nice. We are using it in the service of the Lord. But if we become proud of it, like we keep telling the world how great we are and how nicely we are doing this service and how we are the best and nothing can go in this world without our presence. So when Krishna sees such attitude, he's not happy. So the first thing he does is he gives you a terrible test where he crushes your pride. And then when you come back to your senses, you actually realize that it was the greatest mercy that you received from the Lord. And because if the Lord hadn't crushed your pride, you would still be doing the same thing over and over and creating more and more offenses. So Nimai Pandit, he told his disciples, when the Lord becomes very merciful, he will crush the pride because the Lord never tolerates pride in his devotee. The nature of a tree, a good tree, is that the tree is filled with nice fruits. And what happens with a tree that is laden with good fruits? The tree automatically bends down. So therefore, when a person has very good qualities, he's devoid of pride, then automatically what happens? He bends down, he becomes humble. So those who have power and knowledge, if they do not humble themselves in front of the Supreme Lord, then everything is lost. All their good qualities, everything is gone. So like this, Nimai Pandit, he was telling his students, not to worry, everything will be okay. So there are many, many stories and scriptures that we can think of, like Nahusha, Veena, Banasura, Narakasura, Ravana. All of them, what was something that they had in common? One thing they had in common is that, of course, they were conqueror of all directions. They conquered everyone in all directions. They defeated everybody. But then the Lord doesn't tolerate arrogance, right? So they were all taught a lesson, because you cannot hold on to arrogance and ego for too long. So like this, everyone was taught a lesson and their pride was crushed. So like that, Nimai Pandit, he explains to his students that very soon his pride will be crushed in this land of Navadvip. So now, scene change. Lord Chaitanya and his students, they were sitting on the banks of the river Ganges, and the evening was coming, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started getting ready, because he knew that very soon he's going to see this big Vijay Pandit. So he was getting ready and he was thinking in his mind, how am I going to favor him? See, the Lord is very merciful. Okay, so the Lord is not, his intentions are never to hurt you. He's very, very merciful. Whatever he does is out of his causeless mercy. Nimai was thinking, how am I going to defeat him without killing him? Because obviously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to this world to kill demons, right? He showed his beauty, his sweetness, and he transformed the hearts of people. He never killed anybody. That is the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, how am I going to teach him a lesson without killing him? He's so proud, he's undefeatable, and he has so much fanfare, so much entourage. And if I defeat him in front of others, then what will happen to him? He'll be broken. He will think that this is the end of everything, and he'll become so disgraced, and people will plunder his wealth, people will make fun of him. He's going to be very embarrassed in front of everybody. So when a big leader has to be corrected, sometimes it is not a good idea to correct him in front of his following, because it's so embarrassing and so breaking, heartbreaking for that person. So it's always nice to correct him in private. Right. So Nimai was thinking like that. He was thinking, how you don't want to embarrass him to the core that he decides to die. Right. You don't want to do that. So Nimai was thinking that I have to do it privately in a secluded place and remove his false ego. So like this, when he was thinking like this and sitting among his disciples, he appeared like the moon in the presence of many stars. So this moon was Gaurachandra, our Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who appeared like the moon, and all his students were like little stars. So they were all sitting like that on the banks of the river Ganges. And by the Lord's own sweet will, Keshava Kashmiri, he decided to walk on these shores of Mother Ganga before he approached any person to debate. So he went and he paid his obeisances to Mother Ganga. We all know that the Ganges flows in this Bengal area and purifies that entire land. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was purifying the land. But anyway, Arkeshava Kashmiri, he went to pay his obeisances to Mother Ganga. So he took some water off the Ganges and he sprinkled it on his head. He bowed down to Mother Ganga and he just looked around, and somehow or the other, his eyes fell on the beauty of Nimai. So he was completely attracted by the beauty of Nimai. So that's the first symptom, right? Even we devotees, the first thing that moves our hearts is the beauty of the deities. So two things. One is prasadam, the other is the deity darshan. These two are very, very important because they capture us immediately. The tongue is so difficult to control. For many of us, it's the first thing. We go to the temple mainly to eat prasadam. So prasadam becomes so important. And the other thing is the feast that you have with your eyes. So the feast with the tongue and the feast with the eyes, both are very, very important for transformation. So Krishna can transform anyone's heart just by exhibiting his beauty and giving his mercy in the form of prasadam. So here we have this big Vijay Pandit who was strolling on the banks of the river Ganges, and he had this vision of the most beautiful boy he had ever seen. That was our Nimai. So he saw Nimai and he was captured by the beauty of Nimai. And he just walked to the assembly of these students where Nimai was standing, and Nimai began the conversation. So Nimai said, "Oh, we are so honored that you have come here and you've come here to join us. You are the great Keshava Kashmiri, and we have heard stories and stories about you and your greatness and about how you can compose poetry on the spot, and how Mother Saraswati has actually empowered you to speak. And whatever you speak is so perfect. You are simply incredible. So therefore, oh my dear Keshava Kashmiri, do you think you can create a poetry for us? I mean, can you please give us some nice poetry?" At that time, when Keshava Kashmiri heard all this glorification, he said, "Oh, I've heard about you too. You are that Nimai Pandit, the great grammar teacher. I've heard about you. Yes, I can compose a poem, and I'll compose this beautiful poem on the glories of Mother Ganges." So he immediately composed his own original poetry. He did not copy anyone's poetry or something. He just composed on the spot. It was mesmerizing. It was 100 verses, and and the verses came out of his mouth like as if it was a thunder, like in his thunderous voice, immediately, just like how thunder appears from the sky. Like there's a sound of thunder that you hear from the sky, like that. It was spontaneous. Keshava Kashmiri began with all his force and conviction, even without pausing for a single moment. He composed this very beautiful poetry that had 100 verses, and he continuously poured it out. It was about, so I'm actually rephrasing my Guru Maharaj's lecture here. Maharaj says it was about 3 hours or so. So he was just composing it, and it was coming out of his mouth. And everyone was wondering. They were all amazed. They were all amazed. How can someone compose poetry like this? And they were so amazed. They had never heard anything like this. So when he finished his entire poetry, Nimai was also very happy. He was very, very happy. Who's not happy to hear good poetry, right? So everyone was happy. Now Nimai, he said, "Can you please explain about the elegant ornamentations of this poetry and also describe the faults in your poetry?" Now, here is an interesting point that Nimai makes. Keshava Kashmiri was surprised hearing this. What did Nimai say? He said, "Explain the different ornamentations." Because a poetry has different ornamentations in the way you compose it. They are rhythmic, and they have some beautiful metaphors and things like that, alliterations. So these things make a poetry beautiful. So Nimai said, "I would like you to explain the elegant ornamentations of your poetry." And he didn't stop there. He also said, "Can you also describe the faults in your poetry?" Now Keshava Kashmiri, he was very surprised. He had never heard anyone say that. He said, "What are you talking? Faults in my poetry? There is no question of faults in my poetry. My poetry is always perfect. I am the greatest poet in this entire world. I've conquered every single direction. What are you talking about? There is no question of faults in my poetry." Then Nimai, he picked one verse among the 100 verses that were composed. And he said, "Can you describe that particular verse? Can you repeat it? Can you tell me what was the ornamentation and the fault in that particular verse?" Now, Keshava Kashmiri was surprised. He said, "I just poured out verses from my mouth, 100 verses just poured out. How is it that you remember just that one particular verse out of the 100? How did you remember it so particularly, every word of that particular line or that particular verse? How do you remember it? And you are just an ordinary teacher of grammar, aren't you? So he was asking Nimai that Nimai was just a grammar teacher. How can a grammar teacher know so much about poetry? So he was completely surprised and he said, I am such a great scholar of different tactical schools of philosophy and logic and scripture. And here you are a simple grammar teacher. And I was speaking like the blowing of wind. And how did you capture that little one voice? So Nimai was very, very humble in front of this great poet. He said, just like how you have the grace of Mother Saraswati and you can pour out verses, similarly, I have a little grace from the Lord where I am a Shrutidhar, meaning I can just hear something and I remember it. That's all. So there are some people who can just remember many things if they hear it just once. So we have had such great personalities in history. Of course, Nimai Pandit, here you have the Supreme Lord himself. He's obviously Shrutidhar. But you also have other great Acharyas who have been like that. They just hear once from Srila Prabhupada and they can just pour out those verses, or they can remember every single thing Prabhupada said. And, you know, even in history, you have great sages. Like, for example, one person who comes to my mind is Kuresh. He was a disciple of Sripada Ramanujacharya. So when Ramanujacharya was writing the Sri Bhashya, when they went to Kashmir to actually get the Bodhayana Vritti Grantha, which is a Vritti Grantha, meaning a pattern that you follow to write a Bhashya of the Vedanta Sutras. So Kuresh and Ramanujacharya, they had gone all the way to Kashmir, to the great Kashmir Bhandar. We just saw how Kashmir is a great seat of learning. So Kashmir Bhandar is the place where all these original texts were preserved. And even to this day, there are remnants of this place that one can visit. It's all destroyed, but at least just a few building remnants are there. It was all burned down, actually, unfortunate. But anyway, so this Kuresh was able to remember everything that he had discussed with Ramanujacharya, even where, and he had read from that Bodhayana Vritti Grantha, even when that Vritti Grantha was actually stolen by the Pandits of Kashmir. They came and they took it away. They took it away and they ran away. But even then he was able to bring out everything. So Shrutidhar, there are people like that. So a little diversion, let's get back. So our Nimai, obviously being the Supreme Lord, he was also a great scholar and he was a Shrutidhar, and he told Keshava Kashmiri, just like how you have some mercy of being a great poet, I have mercy of being a Shrutidhar. So anything I hear, I automatically remember. But then Nimai said, anyway, coming to the point, I see 5 major faults and major faults. And in this particular verse, I see many beautiful ornamentations as well. I appreciate those ornamentations that you have included in these verses, but I see 5 major faults. And when he said that, Keshava Kashmiri was very, very shocked. He said, actually, there's no fault. What are you talking? And then Nimai said that I can actually explain these faults for you. There are many inconsistencies. There are many contradictions. And there are good qualities as well. So actually, Nimai, he is known to have quoted the 64th shloka of those 100 verses. He particularly picked out the 64th shloka and he pointed out rhetorical and literary irregularities. He also questioned the great Keshava Kashmiri for usages of certain words, like, for example, Bhavani Bhartuhu, which means that, it's interesting. The word Bhavani itself means the wife of Shiva. Now, if you add Bhartu to it, that it means the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So it could indicate that Bhavani or Parvati has 2 husbands. So like that, he could find faults. He could find the mistakes that was there in the composition of the poetry. If you're interested, we have some time. I would highly recommend reading Adi Leela, chapter 16, text 54. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This portion is heavily discussed in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I thought we could revisit this commentary by Srila Prabhupada that is very, very good to show what the faults were. So we'll just take like 5 minutes to read this. You can also pull it up from Chaitanya Charitamrita if you're interested. This is Adi Leela, chapter 16, text number 54. I'll read the verse synonyms and then the translation and purport. This is for our understanding of how Nimai actually defeated the scholar. So here we go. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 16, text number 54. Pancha dosha eishloke pancha alankara trami amika hishuna karaha vichara. Pancha is 5, dosha, faults, eishloke in this verse. Pancha 5, alankara, literary embellishments. Krame, one after the other. Krama means an order. Ami, I, kahi, say, shuna, suna, kindly hear, karaha, give, vichara, judgment. Translation. My dear sir, in this verse, there are 5 faults and 5 literary ornaments. I shall state them one after the other. Kindly hear me and then give your judgment. Purport. In the verse beginning with Mahatvam Gangaya, there are 5 literary ornaments and 5 examples of faulty composition. There are 2 examples of the fault called as Abhimritsa Videyamsa and 1 example each of the faults Viruddhamati, Punarukti and Bhanga Karma. Bhagna Karma, sir. So Vimritsa means clean and Videyamsa means predicate. In general, the rule of composition is to establish the subject first and then give the predicate. For example, according to Sanskrit grammar, if one says the man is learned, his composition is in order. But if one says learned is the man, the composition is not in order. Such a flaw is called as Avimritsa Videyamsa Dosha, or the fault of unclean composition. The subject matter to be known of the verse is the glorification of the Ganges, and therefore the word idam, this, or what is known, should have been placed before instead of after the glorification. The subject matter already known should be placed before the unknown so that the meaning will not be misconstrued. So here is the first fault. I'm explaining this in case you didn't follow the purport itself. The first fault is that according to Sanskrit grammar rules and regulations, the subject should be stated first. And Prabhupada gives this example of this man is learned versus learned is this man. Now, in English composition, in English poetry, it's fine. It's fine to say learned is this man. Put the subject, who's the man, to the end. It is fine. But in Sanskrit, it is not considered as good composition. The grammar doesn't fit in well. So according to Sanskrit grammar, you should clearly say the man is learned. That means the man is the subject. He should come in the first. Now, this poet was trying to describe the glory of the Ganges. So whose glory are we describing? We are describing the glory of the Ganges. So Ganges is our subject. Idam, this. So, you know, every time it's not necessary that the poet has to say Ganga is this, Ganga is that. The poet can also say this. This indicates Ganga. Okay. So this should come first and then her glorification comes later. So that is the point that is being made here. Now, our Keshava Kashmiri, what he did was he made the glorification and then he related this glorification as for Ganga. Okay. But actually, how the composition should be? First you put Ganga, then you do the glorification. So that was the one fault that he found in this particular verse. That is the first. Now, he did this fault again with one more part of this verse. The second instance, I'm continuing to read the purport. The second instance of Avimritsa Videyamsa Dosha occurs in the words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmi Eva. In this composition, the word Dvitiya or second is Videya or unknown. Placing the unknown first to make the compound word Dvitiya Shri Lakshmi is another fault. The words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmi Eva were intended to compare Mother Ganges to God, the goddess of fortune. But because of this fault, the meaning of the compound word was bewildering. See, so what he's telling here in that same verse, he also made the same mistake again of putting the predicate in front of the subject. The subject should first come, then the predicate, right? So what he was trying to do is he was trying to compare Mother Ganga to Mother Lakshmi. He's telling Ganga is like a second Mother Lakshmi. She's like another Mother Lakshmi, second Mother Lakshmi. So how should he compose that verse? He should say Sri Lakshmi. First should come Sri Lakshmi, then he should say Dvitiya Iva. Dvitiya or the secondary should come after the word Sri Lakshmi, not before the word Sri Lakshmi. Because our subject we are indicating Sri Lakshmi, right? We are trying to make a comparison with Sri Lakshmi. So to say second and then Sri Lakshmi is not good composition. First you say Sri Lakshmi, then you say Dvitiya. So like that, the same mistake of putting the, you know, mixing up the subject and predicate happened twice. One was when he was using Idam, glorifying Ganges, and the second was when he was comparing her with Sri Lakshmi. Okay, now two mistakes. Now, the third fault is that of Viruddhamati. Viruddhamati or contradictory conception. In the words Bhavani Bhartu, the famous thing of, what Nimai Pandit found, everyone knows this, the Bhavani Bhartu mistake. The word Bhavani refers to the wife of Bhava. Bhava is Shiva. His wife is Bhavani. So how did you derive the word Bhavani? You derived the word Bhavani from the word Bhava. So automatically Bhavani means the wife of Bhava, wife of Lord Shiva. Now if you say Bhavani and then you put a word Bhartu, Bhartu means husband. That means it looks like this Bhavani has another Bhartu. She has another husband. Prabhupada says, but since Bhavani is already known as the wife of Lord Shiva, to add Bharta or Bhartu, husband, thus forming a compound meaning, the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva is contradictory. For thus it appears as if the wife of Lord Shiva had another husband. So this is a major issue, major, major issue. Even the subject predicate was okay compared to this, but this is the third fault. Now the fourth one, Punarutti. This is that occurs, when you're making embellishments like rhythmic poetry. So it should be in order. That's the point. Let's see what he says. The fourth point is Punarukti or redundancy, which occurs when the word. Oh, sorry. This is not Punarukti. The next one, I believe. Let's see what the fourth one is. The fourth fault is Punarukti or redundancy, which occurs when the word Vibhavati or flourishes, which should have ended the composition, is further qualified by the unnecessary adjective adbhuta guna, endowed with wonderful qualities. So you're already saying vibhavati. Vibhavati means flourishing nicely with beautiful qualities. And then again, you're adding an adjective to something that doesn't require an adjective. Okay. So what is he doing? He is putting adbhuta guna for the word vibhavati. For the word flourishes, he's adding an extra adjective endowed with wonderful qualities. So it is redundant. It is not needed. When you say vibhavati itself, it means that it has good qualities. So there is no need to add an extra adjective here because it is just not, it is reconfirming the same thing, but it is not needed because the word Vibhavati includes this, right? So there is no need for redundancy. So that is one fault that is called as Punarukti. To say again, the same thing you're saying twice, which is not needed. So that is fourth fault. And the fifth fault was Bhagna Karma, this is what I was talking about, the broken order. So in that one verse that has four lines, the first, third, and the fourth had good rhythmic pattern. The first one, they had the sounds ka-ra-bh. The second line also, the first line, third line, and fourth line had the vibrations of ta-ra-bh, but the second one did not have. Now, when you're not having it in the second verse, but you're having it in the first, the third, and the fourth, obviously the rhythm is broken, right? So ta-ra-bh. This beautification of that verse was broken. So like this, he found five total mistakes in just one verse. And then he said, there are many more mistakes, but I'm just pointing out from this one particular verse. And then Nimai said, these are the faults. everyone there, including the students, they were actually waiting for Keshwar Kashmiri to speak back, because now we have found faults with your composition. Now, how do you want to, say that you are right? I mean, how do you want to counteract this argument? And Keshava Kashmiri could not say a word. He could not think of anything. He couldn't talk, obviously. I mean, it was an obvious fault. So he became like a dumb man. And Mai was smiling. And you're saying, yeah, come on. I mean, just tell me. Do you think whatever you have spoken is right? And are you able to contradict what I have spoken? What's your answer? And actually, these students, they started giggling. And then Imai, he told the children not to giggle. And he said, be quiet, don't laugh. We have to protect the dignity of this man. But still, Keshava Kashmiri could not speak a word. And he was thinking, this has never, ever happened to me in my life. And then Imai told Keshava Kashmiri, you must be really tired because you spoke this poetry for almost 3 hours and you spoke 100 verses. Actually, the poetry is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. It was a glorification of Mother Ganga. So you must be very tired. You please go and take rest and we can discuss these things tomorrow. And Keshava Kashmiri could not say a single word. He was completely startled and he just walked away. He was totally defeated and he went home and he started crying. He was crying to Mother Saraswati. He was telling Mother Saraswati, did I do any aparadh to you? This has never happened to me. And when this little boy, this Imai Pandit, found faults in this, you didn't even give me any thoughts to answer back. Why is that so? I was so dumbfounded. I didn't speak a word. What is it? What is this? You already sit on my tongue. What has happened today? So he was really, he was totally heartbroken. And then he chanted a Saraswati mantra and he went to sleep. And as you all know about the story, Mother Saraswati appeared in his dream. And Mother Saraswati told him, actually today, now I'm going to speak to you the greatest of all secrets, the lessons in all the Vedas. What is the ultimate conclusion of all the scriptures? What is the ultimate conclusion of all the Vedas? Anyone wants to unmute and answer? Just making sure everyone is awake.
To know Krishna's supreme personality. Devotion
to Krishna. Yes,
that is the ultimate conclusion. That is the ultimate conclusion of all the scriptures.
Understanding Krishna is supreme.
So Mother Saraswati tells Keshava Kashmiri in his dream that now I'm telling you the ultimate conclusion of all the scriptures. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Nimai that you went to and you spoke to, he is the Lord of the universe. And I am his eternal maidservant. That is my job. I am his maidservant. I empower people like you with knowledge and wisdom. And I make you all compose great poetries. I make you all speak wonderful poetry. But who am I? I am the maid servant of the Supreme Lord in front of Vishvambhara, in front of Nima, in front of Lord Chaitanya. I stand with folded palms, folded hands, and I'm very embarrassed to even think about what I know, because I know nothing in front of him. I'm so insignificant in front of him. What I am receiving from him is so great. And in front of him, I have no power to speak. So how do you expect me to vibrate your tongue in front of him? Even when I'm standing face to face in front of him, do you think I have the power to speak? I don't have the power to speak. And she tells, actually, this is the greatest mercy that you have received. You have been my devotee. But today I have given you the greatest mercy of you seeing Lord Chaitanya face to face and having a talk with him. Even Ananta Dev, who's continuously glorifying the Supreme Lord, has thousands of foods. He's trying to do it, but he cannot stop glorifying the Lord because the Lord's glories are unlimited. Even Brahma and Shiva, they are so shy to stand in front of the Lord and speak to him face to face. It is this Vishvambhar, he's the Supreme Lord who manifests as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Vamana. He's the one who appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And finally, Mother Saraswati very sweetly tells him that the real fruit of you chanting my mantra so regularly and worshipping me has been received. All the blessings you have received today, that you were directly able to stand in front of the Lord and speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now that you have been defeated and your pride has been crushed, you have received the greatest mercy from Vishwambar. Go to him and surrender unto him and offer all your prayers unto him. And do not tell anyone about whatever I have told you in this dream. So, of course, Keshava Kashmiri's heart was transformed. She disappeared from the dream. And the next thing that he did, first thing in the morning he did, was he went to Nimai's house and he surrendered unto Nimai Pandit. So this big Vijay Pandit, who had this limitless mountain of arrogance, that entire arrogance was crushed. And Nimai Pandit was very sweet. He was like, oh, you're such a great scholar. Why are you falling at my feet? Why are you paying obeisances unto me? And he told Nimai, I know who you are. I know that you are the cause of all causes and you are the Supreme Lord. You're the object of everyone's worship. And Goddess Saraswati personally told me this. And then the Digvijay Pandit, he inquired from Nimai. He said, please tell me how I can be free from arrogance. How can I be free from the clutches of material existence? How can I serve you and how can I surrender unto you in every way? And at that time, Nimai told him, the real purpose of knowledge, hear carefully, he says, the real purpose of knowledge is not to conquer other people or not to tell the whole world how much we know. It is not important for anyone to know how much we know. Okay, it's not at all important. It's seriously not important. So our business is not to tell the whole world how much we know and how we can conquer everyone. The purpose of knowledge is to bring us to the path of worshiping Krishna. That is the purpose of all knowledge. Because remember what Goddess Saraswati told him in the dream. She said, this is the ultimate purpose of all the Vedas. This is the ultimate purpose of all the knowledge, is to know Krishna. So that is the ultimate purpose. So wealth, name, fame, all these things, they only end in suffering because they are temporary. Anything that is temporary will give you suffering because you can't have it for long, right? So automatically there is suffering. So anything that is temporary, all these things, name, fame, all this is temporary. It is going to give you suffering. But then when you remember that you are the servant of Krishna and when you absorb yourself in the thoughts of Krishna, that is permanent. With that, you can attain eternal life. So he gives three instructions to Keshava Kashmiri and to each one of us, especially for me. He gives three instructions. First thing, give up your false pride. Second, worship Krishna. And third, be merciful to all living beings. So this is very, 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 very relevant to everyone, not just Keshava Kashmiri, even for, insignificant readers of scriptures like us, even for us, that is so important. With a little bit, there is so much pride. So first thing is give up false pride. Second thing is you have to keep Krishna in your heart. You have to worship Krishna. Because unless we absorb our minds and thoughts in Krishna, obviously it's hard to get out of false pride. And third thing is not just absorb Krishna and keep Krishna in our thoughts, but also we have to be merciful to all living beings. We have to share and be merciful to everyone and share this knowledge. You know, just receiving knowledge is not the end of everything. We have to also share and be merciful to all living beings. So it is explained that from that moment, this Keshava Kashmiri became humble like a blade of grass. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him Trinadapi Sumichena. So as devotees, we are all being asked to string this verse and tie it around our neck. Trinadapi Sumichena Tarori Vasahishnuna. Ammani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. So this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught this verse, the meaning of this verse of Trinadapi Sumichena. So on that very day, Keshava Kashmiri, he gave away in charity all his elephants, horses, his wealth, and he followed the Lord's instruction on the core of his heart. And he wandered around the world as an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's love. And he showed mercy to all living beings. This is how Keshava Kashmiri transformed. And One thing that Keshava Kashmiri expressed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very beautiful. He said, How is it that you crushed my pride without me feeling bad? It's very easy to find fault with others. It is very easy to crush another person's pride by attacking them. It is very easy. It is the easiest thing. And we all enjoy doing it. It gives us so much. It gives a boost to our ego. It's the easiest thing to do. But to crush a person's pride by not embarrassing that person, by not making that person feel bad, that is a real art. That is a real art. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that. And that's why Keshava Kashmiri said, you are simply amazing. And I'm sure, and of course, it's been reconfirmed to Keshava Kashmiri. He says, you are the personality of Godhead. So, of course, after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Nimai Pandit, his name spread far and wide. And he had more and more students coming to learn from him. Now, in the purport written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that Nimbarkacharya, you all know Nimbarkacharya, he was a great acharya in the 12th century in Vrindavan. Nimbarkacharya, he wrote Vedanta Parijata Saurabha, a commentary on the Brahma Sutras or the Vedanta Sutras. And his disciples like Srinivasa and others, they elaborated the same commentary, and therefore that commentary after elaboration it came to be known as Vedanta Kaustubha. So now our Keshava Kashmiri, he further explained the Vedanta Kaustubha by writing Kaustubha Prabha. This is written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that is one service that he did in the Vaishnava lineage. And also he wrote a book that had the methodologies to perform many rituals. And Hari Bhakti Vilas has incorporated, Hari Bhakti Vilas written by Srila Sanatana Goswami has incorporated several points from this book written by Keshava Kashmiri. So Keshava Kashmiri was completely transformed, and he was actually empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand the Vaishnava Siddhanta properly. And he also understood the simultaneous oneness and difference, the philosophy of oneness and difference, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later empowered Jiva Goswami to write elaborate details on. And he also understood the importance of the worship of Radha Govinda. So all this transformation of Keshava Kashmiri happened only because of the mercy of our Nimai Pandit. A few other things that were mentioned is how Nimai Pandit receives initiation from Ishwarapuri. And that initiation is very special because we all know that he's the Supreme Lord. So who can really initiate the Supreme Lord? Who can give mantra diksha to the Supreme Lord? It is explained that he actually chanted the verse in Ishwarapuri's ear, and Ishwarapuri then gives the mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was the other purport that we read, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur covers very nicely. But we are not going to go into details because that is something which Chaitanya Bhagavat describes in detail. So we are going to read that or we are going to discuss that when those verses come. So like this, in the Adi Khanda pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived in Navadvipa. But how did he live? He lived like an ordinary boy. He did not exhibit his wealth of devotional service, the devotional service that he came to give this world. He was just like a talkative pundit. He had students, and first he was a student, then he had students, and he exhibited his pastimes like a scholar, a grammatical scholar, and he engaged in debates. And he behaved like one of the other Navadvipvasis. Those are the kind of pastimes that he did in his Adi Khanda. So he didn't exhibit much of what he was really going to do very soon. So tomorrow onwards, I mean not tomorrow, Monday onwards, we will see the summary of the pastimes of Madhya Khanda and then further Sesha Khanda. Then we will get into each of these pastimes in great detail. So I'll stop here. I'm already 10 minutes late. Any questions or comments or realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Piti Lakshmi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Such a beautiful, beautiful class, wonderful explanation. And especially this philosophical explanation of the you know, the debate between Keshava Kashmiri and the Mai Pandit. You know, I know we have stressed a lot during our Chaitanya Charitamrita session, but thank you for again stating them and stating in so detail. So thank you so much. It was really, really very wonderful class. Like you went through just like a pastime, like a story through. It was really, really wonderful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Don't have any question as such, but really appreciate the way you narrated the whole pastime. And one thing, like you said that Mahaprabhu, you know, he said the entire mantra to Ishwarapuri. Because I heard while taking sannyas from Keshava Bharati, he said the entire mantra to his sannyas guru, the sannyasa mantra. But was it for Ishwarapuri Pada also? You are muted, I think.
Yeah. The details are not like as clear the way that I said. It's more that, you know, in that purport, if you read, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, of course, yes, Keshava Bharati, that's what happened. But here it is not really that way, but the spirit is to understand that he received initiation from Ishwarapuri, but ultimately he's the Supreme Lord. And that was the discussion in the purport. That really the Lord just accepts to an example. I mean, it's not
me. The right. Point is right, yes. Who can initiate the Supreme Lord? Yes. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. I really appreciated the fact that you spelled out all of the mistakes that Digvijaya Pandit made, you know? It was very interesting to get that clarity on what each and every one was, so I'm glad you took the time to do that. I did have a couple of questions. One is, you know, how is it that Digvijaya Pandit, how did he say that, how was he marveling that Lord Chaitanya was able to defeat him without humiliation, without him feeling badly, when he went crying to Mother Saraswati? You know, I mean, did I make some offense? He was asking, you know, how come I was defeated so badly? You know, he was feeling so bad. So I don't understand that part. You know, he's saying, you know, Lord Chaitanya defeated him without him feeling bad, but also he was feeling bad. So can you reconcile to me?
Yeah, so the point is that, Mataji, you know, sometimes when we are very well learned and we become very scholarly, if we don't know something and if we realize that what we have spoken was wrong or, you know, we have made a mistake, that is actually heartbreaking. Not so much the it is not so much about the person who found the fault. It is just the fact that I don't know. Oh, how can I not know? How did I get it right? Why did I say it wrong? Why did I say it wrong? What made me say it wrong? Don't I have the mercy of the Lord who always helps me in every class? Doesn't he sit on my tongue and vibrate these words? What happened? Did I make an offense to him? Did he decide not to vibrate my tongue properly? Right. So when a person develops a little bit of pride in his heart that I know. Okay, I know Bhagavatam. How can I not know this point? How can I say this point wrong? It is not about the person who found it. Like, for example, I can even give my own example. Sometimes Kirtida Sundari will find, she'll find the mistake. It's not about Kirtida Sundari. Kirtida is my friend. She's the one who has to find the fault and help me out here. So she will find the fault. She does it in a very nice way. But then I might think, oh, I know Bhagavatam. How can I not know this? Why did the Lord not let me know this? Or why did the Lord make me say it wrong? So I'll have it for the next 10 days on my mind. So that's a manifestation of pride.
Yeah, no, it's clear. So it's not that
he wasn't saying that Krishna made him feel bad because of how others looked upon him. It was more about how he felt about himself.
About himself.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so thank you. That part is clear. But also, what would you say, or what would he have said was the blessing to him in all of this? You know, because he was feeling so bad, right, that his pride was smashed. But Digvijay Pandit, he would say that getting his pride smashed was worth it because blank. What would you fill in the blank with?
Because it was worth it because he was directly, he had an audience with the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord smashed his pride. So the qualification of a devotee is to be subservient to the Lord, to become the servant of the Lord, to understand who the Lord is. If the Lord can come and do it for you personally, what more mercy do you, what more thing is more merciful, right? When the pride of Brahma was crushed, when the pride of Indra was crushed, actually they received so much mercy. They got direct interaction with the Lord, and the Lord himself decided to teach them a lesson. Does the Lord do it for everyone? So definitely it's a great mercy, right? The Lord himself comes and he takes care of his child. That is so beautiful.
Okay, and I mean, I'm sorry if these seem very basic questions, but I'm asking anyway. You know, Krishna, he hates pride.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that Krishna hates is because of his concern for us, right? Yes. So why is it that, why does he feel that pride is so, why does he hate so, why does he feel that pride is so detrimental to us that he hates it so much?
With pride, we think it's very difficult to be a servant when you have a lot of pride, right? Our constitutional position, what is our constitutional position? Our constitutional position is Jiveva Swarupait Krishneta Nityadas. That is our constitutional position. If we do not have the mood of a servant, we'll never feel grateful. We'll never feel grateful. If you're not humble, so a person who is not humble means that he's not grateful for what he has received, right? So Krishna consciousness is something that is so beautiful. Bhakti is something that is so beautiful that we have to constantly feel grateful. And because of that grateful feeling, we feel humbled. We feel humbled. Oh, I'm not deserving, but still I got this. And that is our constitutional position of being a servant. So if we are going against our constitutional position and we are trying to be a controller or, the, you know, showing off that I know everything, see, I'm controlling this, then that is not a quality of a Vaishnava. That is not a quality of a servant. It's against our natural constitutional position. So Krishna is trying to put us in that, you know, that correct mood all the time, which is actually good for us.
Okay, so just, you know, thinking out loud, based on what you said, when we are prideful, we're not grateful. When we're not grateful, we cannot experience love, actually.
Correct, we cannot experience love.
Which is the thing, actually. The highest thing that by being prideful, the end result is that we cannot experience the highest truth, which is love for Krishna.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it's just one more thing, which is this, why did Mother Saraswati request or demand that Kashmiri keep their conversation secret?
For the rest of Mahaprabhu's pastimes to unfold, because Mahaprabhu's pastimes are unfolding in a certain pattern. He's not exhibiting that he's the Supreme Lord in every step like how Krishna did. Krishna was very obvious. Krishna's pastimes, everything was very obvious, most of the times, at least, most of the times, except for the Vrajavasis. That is the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He's Channavatar, right? So you don't want his supremacy to be known in every step.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that was the part that she was talking about. She didn't want it to be revealed that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not so much about her conversation with Kashmiri. It's not so much about that. It's more about who the Lord is.
Yeah. Like I said, she didn't want it to be revealed that Lord Chaitanya was actually the Supreme Lord, right?
Right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol Preeti, Dhanvat Pranams. Such a beautiful class, and I really love the pastimes you discussed. They were very sweet, especially the grammar part. It was very interesting to hear that. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. What a beautiful class, Mataji. Very, very nice class. I also really like the grammar part. I was thinking I am listening to the grammar class, English teacher. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much for a beautiful thing. And a very nice answer for Gaurangi Mataji that you are giving. And I was also thinking that, Mataji, is that the pride only brought us here into this material world? Because we were thinking that we are great, and that's when, right, that is all started actually for us. So yeah, as you said, that our main, that is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like trying to bring out this out and make us our position back. Our pure position is like to be the servant of Krishna. Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class. And today only I was hearing the Guru Maharaj lecture, and in that lecture, Guru Maharaj was saying that how a person can be a great speaker. It is because of the hearing skills are very nice. When they hear properly, they can speak out very nicely. That is what Srila Prabhupada said. He was repeating Srila Prabhupada's words. But thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances.
All
glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's beautiful, beautiful class. Thank you so much, Mataji. Again and again, and really, really like the class. I mean, so many, and as everybody said about the grammar, I can hear myself. So when you explain the grammar, I remember the Bhavani part of it, but rest of it was like, I did not get it, I believe, when I was here, I was reading it, but you made it so, so clear. So next time I read it, I would remember your explanation. Thank you so much for that. And when you were, yesterday I did not realize, but when you were giving the class and when you said that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quickly learned those scriptures. Krishna also in 64 days, he learns the 64 skills, right? So there is one more similarity. He is the Supreme Personality of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It gives more and more conviction as we see the resemblance, at least for me. And again, on Gail Mataji's pride, I feel when Krishna is, crushing our pride through his devotees, of course, who will come and chastise us? His devotees will only chastise and insult us. I feel he is cleansing us. So that we become purer and purer, or cleaner and cleaner to go back to God. And so it is like a favor, and like how Narad Muni did it to the sons of Nal Kubera and Manigriva. So Krishna is doing this favor. So,
very well said.
Yeah, Prabhupada says this actually, that, you know, those devotees who can see Krishna's hand, whether it is a, so-called blessings or a curse, but those devotees who can see the Krishna's hand or blessings, they are the pure devotees. So yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. But then at the same time, that means he cares about it. When we are humiliated, that means he cares about us. And he's, purifying us quickly. Fatafat, he's cleaning us. Okay, get rid of all this
malicious anarthas and come back to me. So he cares about us. That is how we get humiliated. That's what I was thinking, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mansa.
Perfectly said, Mataji. Yeah, he cares about us, because if, you know, that's what we talk about, even my friends in Krishna consciousness, only because they cared about us, they kind of help us through, you know, getting our faults out and correcting us and then making us progress. Yeah, that's very true. That's very, very true. And also your thing about 64 hours. Yeah, as I was talking, I was also thinking about it. Yes, that's true. Krishna also did the same. And from time to time, it's a confirmation for us. Like you said, to have more faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. Yeah. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Chai Priti Vilasani Dasi, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Hari Hari Gauranga, as usual, Mataji. Your class has given us so much strength to us, Mataji. Hari Hari Gauranga, Dandavat Pranam, Mataji, your sincere seva.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. As usual, another wonderful, wonderful, sweet class. Dandavat pranams to you and hugs to you, Mataji. Very, very nice class. Thank you very much. It's very sweet, but there's one thing that it comes to my mind.
Go ahead.
There's one thing that comes to my mind, that Keshav Kashmiri, how come he never became an associate of Mahaprabhu? It's kind of a little bit of surprising, Mataji. I don't know.
See, it's not necessary. I think everyone has a role to play. Not everyone needs to actually fall into that particular line. He was definitely, you see, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, many great devotees had received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they went out to do different help and different sampradayas, right? So many of them. We also read about the great poet.
Jayadev?
Yeah, Jayadev Goswami.
Yeah, Jayadev Goswami.
And the other one, right? The Marathi poet?
The Marathi poet?
Surdas.
No, Prabhupada.
No, Harisauri. Tukaram.
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 Yeah, that's true. And Mataji, it's very little known that Tukaram Maharaj was initiated, because I've never read that reference. I've just heard it from devotees.
There in CC commentaries. Go and see Prabhupada's commentaries there. So you see, many people like that, it's not necessary that they have to really fall in the same line or something. They just help. The ultimate idea is to just progress this wonderful thing of devotional service. Doesn't matter which specific sampradaya, right?
Yes, Mataji. That's true, actually.
Krishna
is more important, actually, more than any sampradaya. Devotion to Krishna is the thread, actually, that binds all the sampradayas. So, yeah, that's true.
Look at Venkata Bhatta's family. Venkata Bhatta continued to be a Sri Vaishnava. Gopala Bhatta became a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati became a follower of Mahaprabhu. So,
yeah.
And why did Mahaprabhu choose to talk only to Venkata Bhatta then?
That's true. Thank you for your wonderful explanation, wonderful class, Mataji. All glories to your services. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. I think Kamodaki Mataji, you wanted to speak. You unmuted a couple of times. Sorry. Because there was an echo, we had to. You want to talk, Mataji?
I just wanted to say a very nice, beautiful thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Kamalani. It was nice to see you today.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you something. So I'd like to talk to you. So what time can I talk? Call you?
I'll call you now, Mataji.
Huh?
I'll call you after this class.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Tukaram, in what respect was he brought up just now as an exception or something?
Tukaram, we spoke about a person who received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was actually initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still he might not really be following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he still spread devotional service.
Not following in the line means?
In the same sampradaya, like becoming a follower and becoming a part of the sampradaya.
Oh, even though he was initiated by Mahaprabhu?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very Sushila Prabhupada, I'm very sorry for not being able to attend the class. I just attended the last part and the question answers. But so far, it was very beautiful. Thank you for coming back and giving us your association after such a long time. Really waiting for this class, but unfortunately, something else came up. So we'll go back and hear the recording. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Not missing much, Mataji, but thank you so much. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I am so thankful to you because you did such a very beautiful, sweet class as usual. I am so appreciate you. It was very nice pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you talked the story and the whatever the grammar thing. I like that one, the discussion between Mahaprabhu and Digvijay Pandit. And I saw one lesson over there that Digvijay Pandit have so much knowledge and everything, but he had a pride inside himself. So, and because of pride, he couldn't win to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord, we know that Lord never likes the pride or something. He first diminishes everything and then he just give his mercy to us, right? So devotee always should not have proud for that, whatever they know about, oh, I know that, like that. So pride is not good. So this is a very good lesson from that story. And also, you just told about the three lessons, like a give up the false pride and worship Krishna. Always we have to keep Krishna in our heart. And in our all activities, daily activities, we should keep centered the Krishna. And always merciful to the all living entities, even though the ant and everyone. So I like that point. Our Radhana Swami always say about that Pranadapi Sunichana Tarurapi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Whoever they have tolerance, who give respect to others instead of they want to take respect from others, they don't accept the respect, but they just give respect to others. So this is very nice. Tarurapi Sahishuna. And you have to be humbleness. When you have humbleness, then your pride automatically go away. And until you have a pride, you cannot be a humble person like that. So it is very, very necessary for us, especially for me, I am talking about that. Sometimes I knew before, I didn't know, but I was watching all the TV, in the TV, all Katha and everything. Then I like that one so much. So I was always wondering that I want the association like that. Always I want to continue my association like that. And Krishna give the mercy. But by this association, especially in coming in Bhakti Sangha class, oh my God, it was so amazing. I love it. I love it. And I knew all the things very deeply. So I am so grateful and thankful to all Bhakti Sangha group and all Mataji's services. And so that's what I want to say. And very, very thanks, Mataji, for your very enlightening class and very beautiful class today. And we are very grateful to you. And we look forward to your association again and again in future. And then I am, if your permission, I can close our class. Vancha kalpatarubhyashta krupa sindhubhya yuvacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His divine grace. Mataji, the Priti Vilasini Mataji ki jai. Hari bol.
Thank you, Ashwamati Mataji. It's always nice to start the mid-morning with your chanting. Thank you so much for your services. Hari
Krishna. I am so grateful. You all, Matajis.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you everyone for joining, and thank you Mataji for beautiful class. Closing the call for today. Tomorrow we'll meet for Leelamrita class. Any goals? Mm-hmm.